Worship's amazing. There's a beautiful synergism about it. It even gets greater when you come in and do that from a place where it's your life, when nobody's looking. Like, that's where you really get to know Him. Like, just walking through your house, heading to the bathroom and or the kitchen or wherever, and you just stop right in the hall or as you're walking, just lift your hands. Nobody's looking. It's just your heart towards Him. You just, Father, You're amazing. Your love for me is awesome. I just so receive Your goodness, God. Thanks for my life. My life is such a gift. I appreciate my life. I used to dread life, and now I understand. God, I thank You for Your. It's just something about communing with God that's transforming. So stay encouraged in that truth, amen? Or life and things and circumstances will speak louder than truth, and you'll be a product of what you're going through instead of what He accomplished. Amen. And that wouldn't be cool. So, man, I got some things going on in my heart. I hope we're okay today. We're all right. Well, we'll be good on time. Listen, it's Sunday morning, right? And it's 10 o'clock, so don't hear me harsh. I'm not being harsh. We're not here because it's the thing to do because we're Christians and this is when the church we attend meets. We're here to stir one another in love and good works. We're like here to stay focused and sharp and on point. You don't ever let church attendance take the place of what He created you for and called you to. Like, don't ever let the things you do that are Christian take the place of knowing Him. You guys with me? So you don't just come to church because that's you're the part of this church and that's what you're supposed to do, because you could wake up in the morning and never acknowledge Him, commune with Him, or even talk to Him, but come to church and sing to Him. It just gets weird. Don't do that to yourself. Don't teach yourself religion and function like that. Have a relationship with Jesus where He is viably changing your life, your mind, your expression. And when you gather together, man, we're just locking arms and celebrating a truth we live. And a life we've become. And there's power in that. And that's how our community is going to get affected. Going to church will never, ever change the world. Becoming love will. And becoming like Him will change the world. Going to church, I promise you, there is thousands upon thousands of people sitting in churches today. And if we're not careful, we'll let the church service take the place of becoming like Him. And we'll feel like we paid homage to God instead of become like God.
Oh, wow. Not good.
And we could leave here and actually have animosity in our homes, argue over trivial things, and just say, well, everybody has their moments. No, that's why you have yours. You believe that.
Wow.
See, you don't have to believe that. You actually can believe that you can make peace, that you can walk in love, that you can manifest Jesus. No matter who agrees or sees or what, you can be like Him. And I'm telling you, the most powerful time and moment in your life is when you settle in faith. He lives in me for a reason, and that's what I'm here for. And you don't get diverted from that, and you don't let things that don't matter the most matter more. I'm just encouraging you. I'm not scolding anybody. I'm not spanking anybody. I'm not telling you you're not living right. What I'm trying to teach us all weekend who we really are. And we are not trying to survive. And we are not trying to make it through. The gospel is not God's survival kit to the planet. It's the transformation of our lives. The gospel is a new way of living. It's old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. It's no longer conformed to the world that we grew up in and believed was normal. But we're transformed because we think different than we've ever thought before. Where did we get that thinking? From the way, the truth, and the life. He brought us life. And He didn't just pay a price to go to heaven. Heaven came back into us and all things became new. And all of a sudden, I don't live for me anymore. I live for His great name. All of a sudden, I actually wake up with a reason for being. And it's just not about me making it anymore. It's not about you doing me right or you doing me wrong. It's about me becoming like Him and loving you. That's why I'm on the planet. I figured it out 21 and a half years ago. And I'm really excited all this time later. And it just feels like yesterday. I'm probably a little worse than I was then. Because I know Him a little more now than I did then. And if you ever see me again, I'll be like this. I'll be this passionate and I might be worse. Because truth doesn't change and love never fails. Truth doesn't have a time frame. Truth isn't contingent on people and their actions. Wow. Truth is contingent on the one that's a rock. And he shall not be moved.
Yes.
Heaven and earth is going to pass away. And his word remaineth forever. So if we're believers, we probably ought to believe. See, I'm a simple guy. I've never been that deep. Come on. If we're believers, we probably ought to believe.
Yes.
We probably shouldn't learn to just come and sing to him. We should probably follow him.
Yeah.
Because he's the way.
Yeah.
And he's light in the darkness. And if you're not following him, you're groping along the way. It says if you walk in darkness, the truth's not in you.
Listen, it's good.
But if you walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Co-union, communion, connectivity. And the blood of Jesus washes and cleanses us of all sin. Yeah? So we probably ought to walk in the light. Why? Because we're to let our light so shine before men. Why? So they see our lives lived and know there's a God.
Amen.
We're the body of Christ.
Yes.
We're the body of Christ.
Amen.
That means the embodiment of him. You can study it out. It's the body of him. The expression of him. I get concerned growing up, leaving church, not going to church anymore by a late teen, early 20, didn't understand, feeling like I had too many issues, feeling like a hypocrite, hearing the message that he died on the cross, wondering why, because I can't get it right. Nobody ever telling me, nobody ever making it clear that he didn't die just to forgive me. He died to transform me. He died so that he could pay the price to put his life back inside of me. Like nobody ever told me the cross was redeeming my value and purpose. They just always said he died because I was a mess. No, he died because I had potential, purpose, and destiny, created value. And what was lost through sin, he wanted to pay to restore through his blood. Yeah? And all of a sudden, I have motivation called the goodness of God. And I haven't found a way to sin and get away with it. I've found a way to be free.
Amen.
I've found a way to walk in love and love you instead of judge you.
Yeah.
Make peace with you instead of have animosity.
Yeah.
To wake up and actually believe and know that you don't owe me a thing today because my life is set.
Amen.
And I owe no man anything but to love.
Amen.
So I'm just telling you, you don't have to believe me. Time will tell. I'm telling the truth. One day this thing will be revealed. But you don't have the power to break my heart, hurt me, offend me. I did not wake up for you to love me today.
Amen.
I woke up to be like him.
Amen.
So my days of tit for tat and issues and he said, she said, and well, I feel, well, it's not fair, ended when I got a new mind.
Amen.
When old things passed away, all things became new.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I got conformed to his image. And Christ came into me. And Christ in me is the hope of glory.
Amen.
I'm excited about healings. I'm excited about miracles. I'm excited about all that stuff. My priority is being like him.
Amen.
You can heal the sick and have a lot of issues.
Yeah.
You can get healed and have a lot of issues.
Yeah.
This gospel was never designed to serve you. It was designed to transform you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We don't gather together to see what he might do for us.
Yes.
We gather together to become more like him.
Yes.
And if that's not the truth, we've been lulled to sleep and subtly deceived without realizing it. We're not hypocrites. We're not evil. We're not willful. Most of the time, that's not the case. It's just a lack of understanding, and we've been taught half-truths.
That's
good. So all of a sudden, we find ourselves content in serving him instead of knowing him.
Wow.
And it says, beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He who loveth not just doesn't know God. Doesn't say you don't go to church. Doesn't say you're not a pastor. Doesn't say you don't see your need for a Savior and forgiveness of sins and you've repented. It just says if you don't love, there's one Bible reason. You don't know Him. And this is eternal life. That you might know Him. Jesus isn't the way to heaven. He's the way back to the Father. Read Matthew 16. He's the way back to the Father. And He's eternal. So of course I have everlasting life. My goal of Christianity isn't going to heaven. My reason for being saved is to be one with Him and fulfill what He created me for. I am not here for a blessing. I'm here to live my life in truth and be one with Him and fulfill every reason He saw fit to see my day. I'm not here to make it, survive, get through, make the list. I'm here to be like Jesus and to love you. Period. And that makes for an amazing day. It just ends every trouble. Because you're not living for fairness. You're not finding your identity through people. You found yourself in Him. So your days of insecurity, fear of man, and low esteem are over.
Amen.
Praise God.
And you're not arrogant. You're confident.
Amen.
And there's a difference.
Amen.
Yeah?
Yeah?
You say you're out of your mind. I'm out of yours. And I've been tucked and hidden in the mind of Christ for a while now.
Thank you.
And it's been fun. My wife doesn't have the ability to break my heart. Why? I love her. Love doesn't take an account of a wrong suffer. Love doesn't seek its own. We say, I love you. Why are we so broken up? We think in the church, we believe among us that the people closest to you can hurt us the most. Well, they're the ones you say you love. That puzzles me. I think it's the ones we need. It's the ones that balance our life and make it happen. And when that moves, we get out of joint. That's just amazing good preaching right there. Come on. Psychologically, there's ministers that would dare argue with me that the people close to you can hurt you the most. And yeah, but brother, we all got feelings. I understand we all got feelings, but make sure your feelings aren't coming from the wellspring of self-centeredness. Make sure your feelings and emotions aren't channeled through the fall of man and Adam and what you were growing up. And you're not just relating to all that stuff as normal because God didn't give you the emotions you grew up with. You were born into Adam. It's time to get born again.
Yes.
Anger and frustration and jealousy. You're to put it off and kill it and call it dead. Read Colossians 3. You're to put something off and you're to put something on. Why? Because the thing you're putting off was never you in the first place. It's not what God made you. It's what you became through separation from Him. But now that I'm grafted back in, there's sap running through the vine into the branch and fruits all over me. You get it? It's called Christianity. Yeah? It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, we're supposed to be fruitful people. Not striving and works and trying and drawing your identity from the fruit. You draw your identity from Him so the tree's good and the fruit's amazing. And He said, when He sees a bunch of fruit, He's going to prune you a little more and get more fruit. He's really into multiplication and reproduction. He's not so much into just doing the church thing. He's into becoming like Him. He's going to church. I promise you, He'll never change the world. We got churches on every street corner only because we can't agree.
Wow. That's right. That's good.
And we prove that we don't know Jesus because we fight a lot.
Yeah.
And we don't get on with life in Christ. So we talk about each other, we mock each other, and if we're not in, we're out, and if not out, we're in.
Yeah.
And we prove we don't know Him like we sing.
Yeah.
But how blessed and beautiful and wonderful it is when the brother dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that ran down over Aaron from a full flask, the full horn of the anointing, and down even over his beard. It's a place of power. Unity. What's unity? It's everybody in this building living for the same reason. His image. It's in your different gifts. And just on this front row right here, me and you guys, there's diversity of gifting, grace, talent, calling, niches. Man, you mission guy, man, you see it. You're there because it's you. That ain't me, that's you. But we're one because we both do what we do for the same reason. You get it? Unity. Man, he's a worship dude. I don't even know how to play one note. That doesn't make us different. We're still one. Come here, man. Come here. Come here. Anybody know him? What's his name?
Ben.
Okay, so this is Ben. Look at us. I'm Dan. He's Ben. Are you going to mistake us in a minute?
No.
Are you going to say, are you? He doesn't look anything like me. Now, he looks good. Yeah. So good. He got the beard going, man. Okay, so this is Ben. This is Dan.
Scripture.
Do we look anything like one another, really?
No.
But we can both look like him.
Yeah.
You'll never mistake us for one another. But we can both look exactly like him. That's the unity of faith. And in our great diversity, we find the strength of unity. It's not uniformity. That's Hitler. That's twisted. Unity is in the great mix of diversity, gifts, talents, callings, personalities, and expressions. It's all for the same reason. His image and his love.
Amen.
And if we miss that, we miss the whole point of why he came. And we've done tons of church without becoming her. Come on, this isn't too heavy. We can hear this. If you're mad at what I'm saying, I'd be really concerned with your own heart. Because it's so backed with Scripture and it's so obviously true. In fact, deep in your heart, you can't not hear what I'm saying if you're trying not to. It's just too simple. Christ in me. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm alive. I live. But it's not I who's living. It's the Christ. And he's living in me.
Yeah.
And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me, died for me, and rose again. That's intense. Look at Colossians 3 real quick. Oh no, we're going there. We got momentum this morning. You know what's funny? I never prepare a message. I never prepare to preach, ever. My preparation is my relationship with Jesus. So in my seat sitting there, I'm thinking we're going to talk about a couple different things. It was kind of coming to my heart during worship. Worship was awesome. I really enjoyed it. And you get some ideas. And during worship, you could preach 1,000 sermons anyway. It's just, you know, this dear lady comes up and this precious sister, the woman of God that came up, which I really respected and just saw God in her. She read that scripture in the blind man and I'm ready to preach on that. That is so powerful. You could preach on that for a half hour and go, yeah. And I'm thinking, man, maybe we ought to touch that a little. I get up here, I do a little play thing with my water, pick it up, and this intensity comes over me, and boom! That's just my life. And I just trust it's what he's saying to us.
Amen.
Not because of where we're not, because of where we're called.
Yeah.
I didn't fly down here to correct you. I flew down here to cheer you on and tell you we're the people of God.
Yes.
And we can live this thing. Don't you get trapped in religion. Don't you play church. Don't you find your identity through your title, your servanthood. Don't you find your identity through what you do for him.
That's good.
Find your identity through who he is in you.
Because
that's where your life will be effective.
Because
if not, you won't pursue Christ-likeness. You'll just do church. I promise you it's a problem. Look what happens when we have children. Well, my children are growing up in church. That sounds great. But if you're not producing Christ-likeness and pursuing it and teaching it and living it, you're teaching your children without even realizing it that church attendance is Christianity instead of Christ-likeness. Come on. Your kids don't need to just go to church and do Sunday school and then you guys fighting and saying things at home that you'd never say in front of Jesus or your pastor or your elders. You're hurting everyone, plus yourself. You don't realize it. This is all the time we say, well, yeah, but everybody got their stuff, brother. What a lie and a cop out.
Yes.
Jesus doesn't have any secrets. He told me to follow him, so I ought to live in the light too.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Oh, it feels good to say you ain't got no secrets. Because a lot of Christians believe everyone has something.
Yes.
Think every man has a closet. My closet's been opened and cleaned, my friend. You'll find out one day I'm telling the truth. Because I'm either a wacko and don't fear God or I'm right. Oh man, I just feel that all over me. Just the love of God and the holiness of God. Why? Because I realize why I'm here finally. It took me 33 years to see. But I see.
Amen.
Now I'm 55. I'm having a blast. I'm going to get on a plane today and hook on my belt. Somebody's probably going to be against the window. Hook their belt and say, how are you today? And I'm probably going, well, man, I'm hanging in there, man. Just trying to get through, man. Hoping my flight's on time. Just can't wait to get home. You know, travel, you know, it blanks. That's probably not going to be my response. How are you doing, sir? It's like I'm a human pull cord doll. You ask me a question like that, you just pulled me a mile. You go through security, it's hilarious. How you doing, sir? Man, I'm doing amazing. Really? That's a different answer. It's the only answer I have, sir. Jesus lives inside of me. He's changed my life. He's giving me a perspective on life. And they're like, whoa, okay, man. Hey, whoa. I'm just telling you. You just talk. You just say. You're just real.
Yeah.
They say, why were you in town? Well, you start telling me, oh. And most of the time, he'll give me a little word for them, a little impression of what they're going through or what they're hurting over or what's going on in their body. And then it really gets fun. Why? Because I'm not pressed down with life. I'm not overwhelmed with concerns. I don't have a big, long prayer list of needs because he's my fulfillment. Whether I have enough or don't have enough, I'm content. Godliness with contentment. I don't have this wish list. I don't have it at all. I'm not a needy man. Amen. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, is to be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what he paid for. And it's God who's doing exceedingly, abundantly, above whatever you could ask, think, or imagine by the power that's working in us.
Yeah.
Oh. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. And then they're like on that, sitting there, and they're like, oh, well, that's good. Yay. And they don't understand. You're passionate. You're trying to calm down, but it's hard. And I think I'm playing it cool. And usually in two sentences, they go, whoa, you're really passionate. And I said, oh, do you see passion? I'm trying to play it cool because I don't want to overwhelm you. It's fun. I've never seen anybody crawl out one of those little holes on the wind of the airplane. So they're there. They're done. They're there. It's just amazing because you can whisper over to him in that place. Because see, God told me a long time ago, the Lord spoke to me in a bedroom. I was looking at gifts and things. And he said, Dan, I can tell myself anything. You become one with my heart and you're in. I said, wow. You become love, Dan. I would trust any information with love. Because I can handle any information. So you don't have to beg for gifting. You don't have to, God. Just become one with his heart. Just become sincere. The pure in heart see God.
Amen.
I never pleaded and begged for gifting, but man, I could tell you some fun things. Just happen a lot. You just get little impressions. It sounds like your own head. But you know it's his heart. And you say, well, excuse me. I don't want to sound strange or too personal. I realize you're a woman, but what's going on in your hip? Are they talking a replacement or something? Are you psychic? No, ma'am, not at all. Jesus lives in me and he knows you and loves you and he's very personal. And by then, they're done. Done. I promise you, He can move like that through every face I'm looking at this morning. But you got to let that stuff matter more than anything that's trying to design you, define you, and bind you. You got to let Him decide who you are in the morning and why your heart's beating. We just sang He's the air we breathe. That's pretty intimate. So if that's true, we probably ought to just go with it. And you take her precious little trembling hand and you pray for her hip, and she's just crying uncontrollably because she knows there's no way I can know what they just told her about her hip. So she knows this is God. And she has just had a face-to-face encounter. Doesn't He look good? A face-to-face encounter with the Lord. People say, well, did you lead her to the Lord, brother? And they're talking about that prayer that we all pray. No, I gave her the Lord. And now she has to deal with that. Because the kingdom of God is if a man scatters seed. I'm not real interested in just getting you to repeat a prayer after me. I'm interested in giving you the greatest impact you've ever had by His Spirit. I'm not interested in getting the street corner prayer going and 5 weeks later you come out of the bar with a woman that's not your wife and somebody tries to get you to pray the same prayer and you say, hey, I'm good. I prayed that over there on that corner 5 weeks ago. I'm into change. I'm into transformation. I'm into taking them to water and holding them under till they can't breathe anymore. Ashore and they're dead, so when I lift them, the Spirit of God comes upon them and they're new life. I really don't do that, but it's tempting sometimes. I just want to see if it works. Got it! Bam! That's going to be different. See, don't you understand, like when we do water baptism, it's dying? Like you'll never live in Him until you die to yourself. It's unscriptural to live selfish. It's actually detrimental to you and everyone around you to live selfish. It puts you into a seed pod that never opens and multiplies. It's a lonely place. When you're selfish, you have the right to feel sorry for yourself, to feel lonely, to feel unimportant, to believe nobody loves you. Selfishness is a terrible place. Why? Because you were made for love. You were made for His image. You were made for His glory. And love isn't selfish. Yes. So if God made man in His image and God is love, then God made man to love, not need love. That happened through separation from God. So when man got cut off from the source of love, he became in need of love. And we were all born into that lie, into Adam, and you must be born again. Somehow, we turned that into a prayer that takes us to heaven instead of heaven coming back into us in a life transformed. And all of a sudden I realized confessing Christians are more self-centered than they were before they were saved. Because now they have a right and they're holding God to His word and where have you been? And I've confessed. True. Or let a tragedy come. Woo! Then we'll see what covenant we have. We just have issues and we're angry. And then we prove we don't understand why He came. And somehow we think He's here for us instead of us for Him. Good. The only reason He called out the children of Israel and made them His people, the holy first fruit and lump, read your Bible, is so that through them the nations of the earth would know Him. Amen. It's not because He favored them. They weren't special above all men. He picked out a people with the intent that the nations of the earth would know there's a God. And we are the body of... In the wilderness, do you remember when they were failing all the time? Moses is tearing clothes, throwing ashes, repenting all the time. Boy, went through some laundry, man. He tore some garments. Him and Aaron were going through some threats, man. Seamstresses are probably constantly sewing them clothes because Israel's constantly sinning, right? Oh, God, forgive them. Oh, God. And there's a time in the Old Testament where God said, you know, I'm going to forgive the people. But Moses, as surely as I live, the whole earth shall be filled with my glory. What was he doing? He was prophesying. And he was declaring what I intended from the beginning is coming to pass. There's a day people will be in covenant with me through the blood of my son, and they will understand and be selfless and love not their own lives unto death. They will endure hardship as good soldiers. They will see they're enlisted into the army and never again entangle themselves with the affairs of this life. They will walk out covenant, they will walk in love, and they will cover the earth with my glory. Amen. That's what he was doing. Because he's looking at a people that were constantly cycling, thinking for themselves, it'd be better for us, it'd be better for us, it'd be better. It's over and over in the children of Israel for 40 years, it'd be better for us. It was never about us. It was about his great name. The wilderness isn't a place to die, get sunburnt, and charred, and dried out and burned out. The wilderness is a place to trust him and worship him and believe on him and get angels to minister to you and come out in the spirit and power.
Yeah.
Sound like Jesus?
Yes.
What was so different about his wilderness than theirs? Same elements, same temptations, same devil, same trials. One little perspective. They went in for themselves. He went in for God and us. Wow. He came out in the anointing and power. They wandered, died, and never reached the promise. Dramatic difference. They came out of their tents and loaved the worthless bread, which was a shadow of God's provision and sustenance, life. It was the gospel. It was a pointing to the bread that was to come. The bread was Jesus. The rock was Christ. Who do you think the cloud and the fire was? Yeah?
Yeah.
But they come out of their tents and go, oh, here we go again. Same old stuff. Manna, what is it? Grainy old, think he put some blueberries in it or something. Serious. Just never good enough when you're thinking for yourself. If you're a complainer, it's a dead giveaway. You've given yourself away and to the enemy, and he understands you're not surrendered. He understands you're a Christian for you, not the kingdom. And you are a sitting target for adversity. It says when you complain, you are destroyed by the destroyer. You are devoured by the devourer. Not because God doesn't care, because you make yourself available. Because you prove through complaining that it's all about you and something's not good enough.
Yep. Come on.
Yep. Well, denying yourself and loving not your own life unto death doesn't sound like ever the platform to complain. Sounds like we should forever be thankful. That's why thankfulness is in all the scriptures. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Always giving thanks. Thanks, thanks. Give. Why? Because when you lose your thankfulness, you've turned inward and been deceived and you've taken life personal instead of the gospel.
Wow. Wow.
And you make yourself a target for adversity. They're coming out of their tents. They're arguing. They're complaining against God, against Moses, and loathing the worthless bread. You know what they were saying? What is this stuff anyway? Same old stuff. I'm so sick of this. I'm so sick and tired of this. What they're saying is, your provision and your plan for life and sustaining power isn't good enough for us. We'd like to have a new God, a new plan. We'd like to have something. Why do you think they're making a golden calf? Why do you think they're talking about going back to Pharaoh's camp and sitting by the fire? What's so hard about coming out of your tent in the morning after 12 years of wandering and you come out of the tent and you go, there you are. Your faithfulness all over the ground. We're in the middle of nowhere. I don't even know where we are. I don't even know where we're going. I thought it was milk and honey. I don't know. But I know this. You're here. And when we think we're going to die of thirst, a rock opens up and we drink. When I wake up in the morning, your faithfulness is all over the ground. I can sleep with my babies all night. No, we'll never starve because you're here and you're our God. I worship you, Jehovah, and I honor you, great Yahweh. And I am so glad that you only let me take an omer a day because I will see you in the morning. What's so hard? hard about a thankful attitude? What's so hard about a selfless mentality? I'll tell you what. We were trained by selfishness from the time you can remember. You were expressing selfishness before you could talk. And we get lulled to sleep thinking it's normal. That's why we're angry. That's why we're jealous. That's why we gossip. That's why we backbite. Because of self-centeredness. Jesus never said, if any man come after me, let him pray a prayer to assure he's going to heaven and his name gets written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's not what he said. He said, if any man come after me, let him first deny himself. Why? You were never made for you. You were made for his image. And a man living for himself is the grossest, greatest perversion on the earth. It was never your life. It was always his life in you. I said it the other day. It's why suicide, to me, is the greatest lie and tragedy manifested on the earth. It's a man or woman or child getting deceived into taking something that's not even theirs. He said, well, it's my life. It never was. It's always his life in you. And when you take your own life, you're quenching destiny, purpose, potential, and Christ in you. You're quenching what he paid to redeem. And the devil loves to cut that stuff off. Because if he can cut off life, he feels like he's cutting off God. Well, it's my life. It never was your life. It's my life. I'll do with it what I want. Well, get out of my business. It's my life. Stop. The grossest lie on the earth. That's why life feels like a grind, because you're living it outside of purpose. Why would God fill your tank to drive on a road you were never called to drive? No wonder you feel empty. No wonder life's a grind, because you're living outside of truth. Man, I'm preaching good. I am, man. I feel the gospel all over me. That's not an arrogant phrase. I just know I'm preaching good. I can see your faces. There's a lot of good faces out there. Sometimes I preach, it looks like a deliverance ministry. It's like, but today it's just good, man. If you know what I mean, I can hear you hearing. This is good. I can hear you hearing. It's good. Whether you're celebrating or not, I can hear you hearing. That excites a guy like me. I'm a Christian farmer. I am a seed sower. I plow ground, man. Man lets me come into his field. Get on the Holy Ghost combine. Disc that thing out. By the end, seeds everywhere. It's the kingdom of God, as if a man would scatter seed. I'm Danny Gospel Seed. I'm going to throw seed in the airport. I'm going to throw seed when I get home. I'll throw seed when I pump gas. Yeah. He's going to sow seed, man. Because I learned something. If you don't sow, nothing grows.
Wow.
We're praying to God for increase and save our city and revival. Why don't you sow into your city? Why don't you plow the hearts of men with the love of God? And why don't you put seed into the city so you can go to bed at night and wake up and go, wow, God, you're amazing. No seed too small. Jesus loves you. Hey, I hope you have a good day. I'm believing God's hand a blessing on your life. No seed too small, because even a mustard seed, when it's sown, it grows.
Yeah.
And it doesn't just grow, but it grows into the biggest herb and tree of the field. And things come to find shade and refuge there. And you thought it was small. I was in a city and I saw a paralyzed lady, spinal disease, for 2.5 years. Just went up to her and talked to her. I was in the state of Washington. It's like a movie. It's like a book of Acts. It's fun. Every hair stands up. Yeah. It's fun. She hasn't walked for 2.5 years. She's seatbelted in and she's got her legs strapped because there's nothing there. You got it, right?
Yeah.
So you kneel down and you're just talking to her. You're just making contact. You just care and you're just talking. And you pray for her and guess what happens? She gets like excited, gets a look in her face. She feels life in her legs. So she unstraps the thing And she gets out on a strip mall sidewalk. You say, I don't believe you, Dan. I understand unbelief's a problem in the body of Christ. And I get that. And she walks down the strip mall sidewalk. And at first it kind of looked like one of them weird zombie movies or something. She said, and she got about from me to you and turned and came back. It's the most beautiful thing you'll ever see. People were gathering and she's going, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. And for the first time in 2.5 years, she's walking. So we tell that story and it's like, whoa, highlight clip, right? Now you have to understand, I've prayed for lots of people in wheelchairs I haven't seen do that. But I've seen four get up. Glory. So I ain't going to stop. And I ain't going to sit and argue with people that don't believe. Because when I stand before Jesus, I'm going to have some fruit on my account. And you're going to have unbelief and arguing doctrine. Yeah? Unless, of course, I'm a liar and the devil and you want to reduce me to that. And that wouldn't be a good day when you stand there either. So I'm telling you this story for a reason. Because now I'm in my hometown and I'm just shooting through the mall. I'm going, I like to fish. I fish when I'm home. My wife likes me to take her fishing. We have a good time together. We eat fish. We just have good lakes around the house. So we go fishing. And I'm running in to buy something for fishing. And I'm going up the stairs and a young girl about 20 years old is coming out the door. And I went through and I went, she's down the steps. I said, hey, girl. I said, man. Don't you believe lies anymore. Don't you live foolish, girl. Don't you do anything foolish. Your life is so important and so valuable to God. Don't you? And she just went. And there was no need to pray for her. No need to cuddle her. God was there. Her eyes filled with tears instantly. I said, you go on and live wise. You have a good day. Love you, honey. Jesus loves you. I turned and walked in. I got in. I peeked out the door. And she's just walking. I'm telling you, she was toast. So let me ask you, what's more phenomenal, that lady in the wheelchair or the little girl? They're exactly the same. It's called loving people. The lady in the wheelchair might go on and never actually get serious and serve God. She might just have a testimony of a miracle. That little girl might go after a nation. You don't know. It's all the same. It's just God touching people. It's a seed. They're both seeds. The lady in the wheelchair, it's not the end. It's not trumpets and woo-hoo. It's the beginning for her. The little girl, just as powerful. Yeah? I was telling them a story about how I was with a guy from a ministry school. We pulled up to a light and he said, can you pull up a little just so I can make contact with that guy in the corner? I said, sure. I pulled up as far as I could. And he went over and he said, hey, bud. I said, yeah, what's up, man? He said, I just need to tell you, man, Jesus really, really loves you. And when it came out of this kid's heart, I mean, it almost made me cry. I was like, I wanted to jump in the way of his words and just love him. You could tell he meant it. You could tell it was coming from the Lord. He said, Jesus really, it wasn't just, hey, Jesus loves you, man, which is still fine. He just said, Jesus really, really loves you, man. And the guy looked taken back a little. He's on the corner in traffic and it's the last thing he's expecting. And he just said, bless you. And he wound up his window and we're talking. I said, hey, guy's trying to get your attention, man. I said, hey, that was beautiful. The way that came out of here. That came out of the heart of God. He said, yeah, I feel it for him. I said, well, he's trying to get your attention. He said, what's up, man? He says, sir, you have no idea what you just did, and how much I needed to hear what you just said. Just thank you. It seems small when you do it, and it might just be saving a life. Wow. It might just be releasing a destiny.
Yeah.
You see what's wrong with me? I don't have time for issues. I'm a believer.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a he said, she said, tit for tat. Well, I feel, well, they shouldn't.
Come on.
That died a long time ago. Let me show you. Did I turn you to Colossians? I'll have just enough time. Yay. Colossians 3, not 1. We've graduated. No, it's all good. If you get a chance to read one, you ought to. Did I show you guys this? That is awesome. Colossians 3. That word "if" is not a challenge from Paul. He's not saying if you're really saved, prove it or do this. That word "if" is a little Greek word that means since. He's saying since you're saved, since you're raised with Christ. Come on, am I talking to you guys?
Yes.
Who in here believes Jesus? Who in here believes in Him? Who believes in His blood? Who believes they're a child of God? Okay, I'm talking to you. Paul is. Since you've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Watch. Where's one of the biggest traps of your life? Your mind and where it wants to drift and go and what it wants to continue to think and believe. Living out of your feelings and sensuality is probably a real lie, huh? We're called to live out of our spirit and live by faith. And a lot of times we're only doing as good as we feel. No, you're doing as good as you believe.
Yeah.
And the more strong you live out of belief, the more your emotions and feelings will line up to belief. But if you let feelings sway you from what you're setting out to believe, you'll always live sensual, even though your heart's sincere. It's a big lie. Man, what's it matter if a feeling of loneliness is there in your life when you believe you're not alone and He lives in you and you commune with Him in the face of loneliness? And all of a sudden, His reality overtakes the feeling of loneliness that has driven you for years. Wonder if you just wake up and don't even feel born again. Just feels like God's far away and you're just a ball of flesh. Anybody ever feel that way? You wake up in the morning and you don't feel connected and you just kind of feel blah. And
yeah.
What would happen if you're a believer? Instead of saying, I need to call Sister Sally for prayer, she'll pray me through. You don't need prayer, you need truth.
Yes.
It's not ministry that makes you free, it's truth. And you got to face that sensual lie, because if you just call Sally for prayer, she's running the risk of finding her identity for being the prayer warrior in the church, and you're using her to get you through and living on the high. But wonder if you don't change what you think, you'll need her again and again and again and again. So why don't you wake up in the morning and all those feelings are there and you say, Father, I just thank You for Your great love. God, I thank You that I'll never be alone. I thank You I'm completely equipped and fully satisfied. I thank You, God, that today is a gift and it's going to be amazing because You're inside of me. Father, I thank You. I'm not a man of the flesh. I'm a man of the Spirit. And all of a sudden you're getting out of bed and you've got your spiritual slippers on before you touched any slippers. And you're just, Jesus.
Yeah?
And you're going to the bathroom and you ain't going, ugh. You're going, yeah, you man of God. Hair curled up and bent, slept wrong. You know what I mean? I've done it more than you imagine. I'm leaving my bedroom ready to head out and I just stop. Full length mirror. Y'all have them. Whether you look in them or not. They're there. I can't tell you how many times I've done this. I don't even do it anymore. Every once in a while I have fun. But I walk by and I go, are you kidding me? I walk right up to me in the mirror, look me right in the eyes and say, dude, are you kidding me? You're filled with the Spirit of God. I see Jesus in you. You understand righteousness. Man, you have received the gospel, friend. The Holy Ghost is on you. I'm serious, man. I talk right to you. I say, I don't even know what you're doing hanging out here, man. The world needs what I see in you. I can tell you're going to have an amazing... And if you fist bump yourself in the mirror, it'll never play you. You'll always get fist bumped back. You'll never... You high five, you always get it back. You'll do yourself right. And then you walk out. You think that's silly? There's people that won't even look at themselves in the mirror. And when they do, it's all worldly and secular. And I ain't pretty and I ain't handsome. And I wish my eyes were different. Ew, look at that ugly nose.
Yeah.
Deception.
Yes.
Yeah. Wisdom of the world. Robbed. Blind.
Yes.
Yeah.
For nothing. That means nothing. Oh, I'm about to go on a tangent. I'll calm down. I just see good folks getting hurt by silly things.
Yeah.
Set your mind. Here we are. See, I know where we're at and I didn't even know. Set your mind on things above, not the shape of your nose. Don't get more caught up in saving money for a nose job.
Yeah.
than you are becoming like Christ and walking in love and revealing the nature of God. I ain't against your nose job, but make sure you're secure whether you got it or not.
Come on.
In fact, I'm not too cool with your nose job. I actually wish you'd just keep the one you got.
Come on.
And just be confident in who you are in Him. Because next thing you know, we'll all need a certain thing a certain way, and you women are under so much pressure, it makes me cry.
Thank you.
Everything is extravagant and thin and lacy and busty. And if you don't have those genetics, what do you do now? It's so malicious and ridiculous, and yet everyone seems to be buying into it. When I say everyone, you know what I mean. I'm so close to a tangent, you have no idea. We are on thin ice. Set your mind. Set what? Your mind. Your mind. Be the steward of your own heart. Be the steward of your own life. Hold yourself accountable. Be your own best friend. Stop trying to find a best friend. Be one to yourself. And then maybe you'll have a healthy best friend. Come on. You love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't like you, you don't have a good view of anyone. Come on. Hurting people, instead of dealing with their hurt, surround themselves with people that understand their pain and call them friends. And all they do is sympathize and justify and give them a right to stay the same.
Come on.
It's not support. It's deception. Now there's a place to hold somebody and hug them through and love them and say you're sorry it happened. But at the same time, you better be pouring out just as much truth to separate them from the thing they're trying to feel and become and make sure they know they're more than what took place.
Yeah?
You know I'm telling the truth. People get cheated on and they live cheated on. The rest of their life. They let one man or one woman do one act and it trumps what God said and did. They let one human being do something unfortunate and it dictates 30, 40, 50 years of your life. That is tragedy. That is sin. That is deception. And I'm not being insensitive. I'm just raw and hitting it and hoping you hear it and say never again. Because if you say I'm insensitive, you are way wrong. I have held people whose spouses were in other beds and cried with them for 20, 30 seconds and let them know that I wish they didn't make that decision. And in the next 30, 20, 30 seconds, I got their shoulders looking in their eyes and said, now listen to me. You are a man of God. You are a woman of God. Don't you let what they did decide who you are for a moment. We're going to cry for them. We're going to pray for them. You are not a victim. You are a child of the living God. And they are not a villain. They are in trouble. They are in deception. They are in waywardness. And it matters. Don't let your heart get hard. Show mercy because He is merciful. And let's pray for their sake. That's how I pastor. And I've watched a lot of people come through things and not get crushed. Yeah. Man, I feel the gospel. I really do. It's 12 o'clock. Can I have five? Are you sure? Five? No, stop. No, we got kids. Stop. It's not going to work. See, I'm afraid it will. Stop. Here, stop. Look. I'm going to distract you. See, they set their mind on things above. They're listening. They're like, we want heaven, dude. Preach it. We don't care if our kids are in children's church for 48 hours. Bring it. They'll survive. God will sustain them. We're feeling it, dude. We don't need to eat. No potty. God will take care of it. Let me get this through. Set your mind, this is about the 7th, 8th time I read it, right? Set your mind on things above, not the things of the earth. Why? Why? Because you did not pray a prayer to go to heaven, you died. Yes. Read it, it's there.
Yes.
Let's stop giving people a piece of the gospel.
Yes.
Let's tell them what they're doing.
Yes.
They're dying. You don't say, if you die tonight and don't know where you're going, pray this prayer with me. All they're doing is doing it to cover themselves if you're not careful. You're not giving them the message. There's no repentance even in that. There's just security in the mind. And I know this stuff stirs up things because we've been doing something a certain way for a long time. Doesn't mean it's effective. It doesn't mean it's God. You look at all the people on the earth that have prayed that prayer. And you look at all the people that attend church. And you look how much hurt, pain, counseling, despair, discouragement there is versus walking in love, filled with God's Spirit, and not looking back. You weigh in your own personal life without me judging you. If from the time you got saved to now, you've been more in need than you've been fulfilled. And if you've had a right understanding of why he's in you. Because if you don't, you won't live with impact. You won't have influence. It's not a mean, hard word. It's a sobering, healthy word. If you're not free and fulfilled, how will you have impact? How will your life ever matter to another? How will they ever see him in you if you don't see him in you? Then you'll reduce it to evangelistic strategy, or Thursday nights we'll go out and hand tracts. That's when we reduce ourselves to ministry instead of life lived. Look, you died. You didn't pray a prayer to go to heaven. You died to everything you were so that everything he is can come alive in you. Don't teach people a piece of the gospel. Give them the word. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ, with God in Christ. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, you're going to appear with him in glory. Therefore, that word therefore means, in light of what I just said, because of what I just said, right? If you're a Bible teacher in here, I'm not being funny, don't just preach at a therefore. You have to let people know what it's there for. The word has got manipulated by people just out of context, one-liners.
Yeah. Come on, preach it, brother.
The therefore is so timely. He's identifying us. We're in Christ. Christ's in us. We died. Our mind is above, not on the earth. We're not moved by trivial things. We're moved by the things of the Spirit, man. We're on a mission. We've passed through boot camp. We are dressed in a... We have a uniform, man. We have an armor. And we have went through the boot camp. And we feel good about what's on us. Yeah? Therefore, look at this. Put to... What's the word? Oh, my goodness. He didn't say find balance, moderate, and get a grip on. He said kill.
Come on.
Kill your life as you've known it. The first thing on the list, always, is sexuality. You know why? Because the sexuality we grew up with is what we got from Adam, and it's all driven by self-centeredness, loneliness, the need to be close, feelings, important, valued. And people have gotten in trouble sexually so much because of emotions, disjointed, insecurity, and lost identity. Young women have vowed they never will, and they do more than once. Why? Because of the confusion of the emotions, the confusion of the insecurity, the need to be held, the need to feel valued at the loneliest moment. Somebody says the right thing and you're in, and all of a sudden, it's never good. It's a rat race, and you know I'm telling the truth. Every list, Thessalonians, Corinthians, Ephesians, every list. Sexuality is the very first thing on the list. What's he saying? Kill your sex drive as you know it. Because it didn't come from God. It came from Adam, and it's selfishly driven, and it's all about you.
That's good.
With women, it's most of the time about feeling needed, wanted, and valued. With men, it's about scoring and having an experience. It's just that. It's that shallow.
Yes, it is.
It's covenant. It's two becoming one. Yeah. There's a hymen in a woman. It breaks. The man goes into her. There's blood when the hymen breaks. There's blood in the semen. They cut blood covenant. There's one hymen. It doesn't grow back. Why? You're made for one. It's covenant.
That's right.
It's holy. It's holy.
Yeah.
It's not orgasm. It's holy.
Yeah.
It's not one night stand. It's not lonely. It's holy.
Yeah.
You say, well, now I feel terrible, Dan. No. Holy.
Yeah.
Let's get back to holy.
Yeah.
I know young girls in our church. I know a lady that I did their wedding. God put the thing back in her.
Yes.
Because she cried and wept and said, I wish I knew then what I know now.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have slept with so many men.
Yeah.
And on the night they got married and he fasted 7 days because he just wants to love her like the church. God loves the church. And she just said, I did a spiritual thing with them meeting and talking. And on their wedding night, she has a hymen.
Yeah. Come on.
Why? Because God's saying, you never did this before. Because
yes.
The person I see is new.
Yeah. Come on.
I did a wedding. It was her fourth marriage. You say, how'd you marry somebody? Because she was a drug addict and just getting married in the drug life. And now she's born again. She's not married and divorced. She's a new creation.
Yeah.
You can get legalistic with me all you want. You're wrong.
Come on.
Let me tell you how wrong you are. We're doing the wedding and the keyboard lady starts singing in tongues. And I'm going, what? Drug addict, former prostitute, selling her body to stay high.
Come on.
Already through three marriages, now she's standing there with a man. They're both born again. She's got a new life.
Yeah.
Don't tell me she can't get married to him because she was married before. She was dead before. I'm standing there. Her family are like, here we go again. What number is this anyway? Uh-huh. Wonder how long. I'm sorry. She's married four times. This was her fifth in their eyes. Starts singing in tongues. I think I have the tape somewhere at home. I listen to it every once in a while. I don't know where it is now. I didn't listen to it for a long time. Makes you cry. Guess who gets the interpretation? Me. And I sing over her. From the Lord. And it was a song that said something like this. Look across and look into his eyes. For I assure you, you've never done this before. And bam, bam, bam. And I love you. And my, do you look good in your white? I am so glad you wore white. And she's standing there going. And I'm thinking they're just going to be gone here. Yeah. Legalism is wretched. Yeah. People reading the word without the heart of God inside them. Yeah. Knowledge will puff you up. Love will edify.
Yeah.
It's amazing how men will stand and think they're schooled and in knowledge and hold people to all these scriptures, and if God came to them that way, they wouldn't be saved. It's amazing how we get self-righteous after being cleansed from unrighteous.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm saying that, but it feels right. First thing on the list, sexuality. Put to death. Don't balance. Get a whole brand new view. There's a place for you married couples. I can't preach on it in public, but God doesn't let me go in detail. You say, why? He said, because of where the heart of my people are, the message will do more harm than good. Because they'll hold each other to it instead of become it.
Come on.
Wow.
That's good.
Paul said, there's many things that I would like to say right now, but I can't. There's many things I would write, but you won't bear.
Wow.
But I found a truth. You tell me one area in life that's more exploited than sexuality. You tell me one that's a close second. What is a close second to sexuality on the earth? What area is exploited more than men and women and sexuality? Is there anything even close second? Why? Because of the great, amazing value at the root of truth, because you don't counterfeit $1 bills.
Yeah.
You go for the hundreds.
Yeah.
And it's so sensually, strategically designed that it keeps us ensnared by our feelings so we never consider a higher truth by the Spirit. And we get appeased there, but never fulfilled and satisfied. Oh, I'm on to something. Because I lived in the old, but I've lived in the new. And I can't even talk about it openly. Because he said that people won't hear it. It'll do more damage than good.
Wow.
Because wives would then say, I don't want you touching me because, and I don't want to. And men would be like, I can't believe. And miss the whole point. Because coming together is holy.
Amen.
You shouldn't have any trouble being one together in a marriage. But it's a whole different realm. And you're more aware of God's presence than you are physical sensations. Because it's holy. I found something. Yeah, I did. And it makes the lie a gross lie.
Yeah, it does.
I say this all the time. Men that are bound in pornography don't need a spirit of addiction cast out of them. They need to see who they are. Because if they ever get into the value of who they are, they'll see that for what it is. Because as they love themselves in God, they'll begin to see others the same. And it'll make their heart cry, not their flesh arouse.
Yes.
I promise you, I hope the statistics aren't true, but as many men in ministry that aren't addicted to that stuff are, they say. I hope it's not true. It's more than reading a Bible and doing cross references and Googling sermons and preaching from a pulpit.
Yeah.
It's the Word becoming flesh. Anybody can preach a sermon, but who's going to become like Him?
Yeah. That's good.
Anybody can get ordained. You can do it on the internet. But who's going to be like Him?
Yeah.
I got to quit, man. Yeah, I so want to. Let me just read it and try not to preach. That's going to be very hard. No, the word does a good job. It's just that I have a half hour for every line. So let's start in 5 and try to make it to 13, 14. Let's step out in faith. Let's see if I can just read. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, it's all idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you and me were when we walked and lived in these things. But now you yourselves are to put off these things: anger, wrath, malice, so hard not to preach, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. You have put off the old man and his deeds, and you've put on the new man. I got to preach this a second. Who is he? He's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Do you see the cross is a restoration back to the image?
Yes.
Do you see that my gifting and calling is an image consultant? I'm here to tell you who you are.
Amen.
You say, I never read that one in Corinthians. I made it up. So we're putting off. How do we put off without getting into works and running the risk of failing?
Listen, this is good.
You don't bite your lip and try to change. That's never worked for anyone in the room. How do I put off without getting into works and running the risk of failing? I get alone in prayer and I believe the gospel because you're saved by grace through faith.
Yeah.
So I get alone with God and I say, Lord, wow, I've been living in selfishness. I've been selfish in my marriage. I've been selfish on the job. I've been selfish in my life. But now I understand I've denied myself. I thank you for empowering me to see that and live that and express that. And I put away All these things that come with self-centered living. Anger, frustration, the right to be right. Stress, frustration. God, I call it all dead and I put it away because you never made me for these things. You made me for you and for you to live in me and shine through me. So Lord, I just thank you that all these things are dead, that you're keeping them out of my life. And the sheer wisdom of you, Holy Spirit, in my life will bring anything to my attention that is less than what you paid for, because you are the one that's changing me. That's prayer. That sure beats, God, what a tough day. I hope you change my boss today and you don't act like a jerk and I wish the car would make it without stuttering. That's not prayer. This other thing's prayer. And then you put on the new man. Who's he? He's in verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Father, I just thank you that because of your great mercy, I've become a merciful man. Your very heart is inside of me. Your eyes look through my eyes. I see what you behold. I see now the value of men. You paid a price for everyone. There's a blood, price of blood on every head. They all have the same value. There's no high place. There's no low place. Men have value in your sight. I appreciate, God, that no one owes me anything. I wake up to love. Your spirit is in me and I am a merciful man. I have patience because I'm a lover. I have tenderness and kindness in me, God. There is fruit all over my tree and hungry men will eat and be satisfied. God, I thank you for my life in Christ. That's how you put off, put on. Why? Because you're saved by grace through faith. So every time you release faith in the truth, grace comes to make truth your reality.
So good.
Yeah? That way, you're saved by grace through faith. Every time you release faith in the truth, grace comes to make truth your reality. That way you didn't bite your lip to change, you're being changed by grace. So guess who gets all the glory? So you never get proud. You're not a super Christian. You're a believer. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, call Trey and tell him about it. It doesn't say that. Even as Christ forgave you, you also become forgiveness. Now watch verse 14 and I'm done and I'm 19 minutes late. I'm sorry. But above all that's been said, what a period for the weekend. Above all that's been said, put on love.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's the bond of perfection.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm telling you, as humble and sincere as I can, if we miss becoming love, we've missed the whole point of the cross.
Yeah.
And we've done church without becoming her.
Yeah.
And the world will never see him clear. I love you. Thanks for letting me cry out so freely. I just taught, poured out my heart. I think I'm going to sit down and let you end however you want as a pastor in this house. Okay? I love you guys. Bless you.
Man.